call the meeting to order of the Senate Education Committee. It is February 27th. The time is approximately 8:04 a.m. In attendance are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, and myself, Senator Thomas. Senator French will be joining us shortly. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome, everyone. First, is there anything to come before the committee before we get started? Seeing no heads nodding. The only item of business today before us is SB 6, the pre-K bill sponsored by Senator Davis and Senator French. We last heard this bill last year along with several presentations on the importance of early childhood education. We heard experts discussing the economic value of pre-K, and we heard from many of the major organizations and stakeholders involved in early childhood education in Alaska, including Best Beginnings, Head Start, and Rural Cap. We heard from the department on their pilot program. And during the interim, Senator French took a group, including his aide, Lila Hobbs, Senator Stevens' aide, Tim Lampkin, and my aide, Murray Richmond, to Allakaket and Minto to see their pre-K programs in action. In addition to all this, there is a statewide council on early childhood, has been meeting since last May, and will present a final report in June of this year. This is an important topic and one that we have spent a great deal of time studying, and we will probably spend a fair amount of time on it as well in the future. Today we hear the committee substitute for SB 6. We have a work draft of a committee substitute before us this morning, and Senator Davis' staff will go through the changes once we've adopted the committee substitute. So if I could have a motion to adopt the committee substitute, I would appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Meyer.
I move that we adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 6, version 27, LS0058/I, for purposes of discussion.
Okay, thank you. And I will object for the purpose of discussion. CS for SB 6 is before us. Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis, is here to explain the committee substitute.
good morning, Senators. Chair, the explanation of
put yourself on the record, please.
I'm sorry, Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis.
The amendment,
or I should say the change from version B to version I of this committee substitute, provides that the age for a student enrolled in the public pre-kindergarten from 4 and 5 years of age was changed to 4 years of age. This version also expressly provides for inclusion of the pre-kindergarten students in the student count without providing for an exception for the first year of the program to allow for an estimated count, and it changes the inclusion from part-time student to not more than half-time student. This is a significant change because it also should allow the fiscal note on the original bill to be cut roughly in half. So, if you have any further questions, I could go through the sections section by section, or I could continue with the sponsor statement.
Senator Stevens,
could you just help me understand why the fiscal note was cut in half? I didn't catch exactly that reason.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, what we had done originally was to have anticipated that every single student in pre-kindergarten would also be in pre-kindergarten and would be counted as a full-time student. But it was anticipated that this would be a half-time program, no more than half-time, and therefore the cost should be reduced substantially. And in my discussing this with the department, it was my understanding from Elizabeth Noodleman that, in fact, they could not reduce this fiscal note. I attempted to do that in the interim until this committee substitute was adopted by the committee. And so I think the department could probably better answer that question after this.
Thank you. And they are here, so we'll get we will get that explanation. Okay. Thank you. Tom, continue.
Would you like the sponsor statement at this point on the bill? Or?
Excuse me, Tom.
Yes.
Apparently you've read the statement before when we introduced the bill.
Okay.
I believe
I guess since I did not have a chance to say anything before you gave the CS version, I just want to say that this bill is a very important bill, and we should, as a state, want to have pre-K statewide. All the other programs that we have, they are great. We don't have any problem with them and would like to see them move forward, increase in numbers. But the public school system should have pre-K. We know the benefits of it, and the chair just stated to you many of the reasons, the importance of pre-K. And it's not because we can't afford it, and we could set this advance into whatever year we want to have it, but it's something that needs to be on the books so that it would eventually get implemented. I don't know how to say how much I believe in this, and I know that it works in other states, and every state would like to adopt it if they could afford it, and there's no reason why we can't. And so if there is anything else that we need to say to the committee, I'd be willing to have that. Are you going to take public testimony today?
We're going to take public testimony, and I anticipated that when Senator French got here, since you're co-sponsors, we'd have you guys take your opportunity to expand.
And he will be able to do that when he comes,
mm-hmm.
but he's not here now, and I don't know exactly what you want from my staff. He's over there willing to go through the bill itself, but I think all of us understand what the bill is. It's cut and dry.
It is. It is
4-year-olds in pre-K.
Is it cut and dry? We're just curious if there are any substantial changes in the committee substitute, I guess.
There isn't, except for the change that he
That's the only one?
Told you, yes.
Through the chair, the only thing I wanted to point out, and this has been asked of me several times, this is an optional program for school districts. We're not forcing it upon them. If they do elect to do it, it's my understanding that the department is obliged to fund it. It's also not mandatory on the parents to participate. So these questions have all come up repeatedly, and I think what we're trying to do, as the senator has explained, is just offer this statewide and try to encourage people to take advantage of this.
Okay.
Senator Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Davis.
You may recognize French first.
I'd like to recognize that Senator French has arrived.
Morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I just wanted to make this point. When we began to take kindergartens into the school system, it was the same thing. It was optional. You didn't have to go. You could enroll your child if you wanted. You didn't have to. Most people thought we didn't need it. But once we adopted it, it wasn't long before 95% of the kids age level that was at that age would come to kindergarten. And it wouldn't be any different with this. Because I think parents have a better understanding that the earlier we educate our children, the better off they're going to be. More prepared for first grade by having pre-K and kindergarten. And so with that, I just like to say that we can't go wrong by making this statewide, and it doesn't take away from any other program.
Thank you, Senator Davis. Senator French, did you care to make some comments this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually would, if that's all right. I apologize for being late. I was helping start an LBNA meeting. They were short on quorum, and so I got them started, and some other senators have come along to make that meeting continue. And I apologize for not having been here for Mr. Obermeyer, Senator Davis's opening remarks. I guess I wanted to take just a minute and go over some of the results we've seen from the 2-year pilot. I asked my staff to distribute the second year report of the 2-year pilot, and you should have in your packets a document that has a cover sheet that kind of looks like this. It's year 2 of the pilot program, and I just want to take a minute and go over some of those results. I think it's important for the committee to know what we've gotten out of the money we spent on the pilot, and I'm going to start on page 4 of that report. Talks about there's 3 different tests we do for pre-kindergartners. It's a little bit confusing because they have specialized names and specialized criteria. But the one I want to talk about first is the PPVT, which is not to be confused by the popular oil tax that goes by a name that's similar. It's a PPVT, And PPVT is the Peabody Picture Vocabulary Test. It provides information on vocabulary and receptive language development. It's a norm reference test designed to assess children's scholastic aptitudes in terms of verbal ability from age 2 years, 6 months to age 7 years, 4 months. So it's aimed at very young children. It's an English language assessment. It's been used in a large number of early childhood settings for many years. It's known for its correlation to later school success. This assessment allows for national comparison and for growth model use in pre- and post-methodology. If you turn over to the next page, page 5, it measures, the PPVT measures a couple different aspects of learning. But what it really boils down to is how much are you growing in relation to what you would normally grow. It's a little tricky as you measure students as they get older because you expect kids to get smarter as they get older. That's a normal pattern. But are they sort of growing faster than you expect or slower than you would expect or about what you would expect? And at the bottom of the page, I highlighted the green bar that says 78% of the students have shown above expected growth. And that's really just a nice thing to see with the program. If you turn over two more pages on the page 7, there's a bar chart. And at the bottom of the bar chart, it talks about this above growth, below growth, and so forth. And if you look at the chart all the way to the right, you'll see the one area where we don't see a lot of improvement, 25% of the kids in FY10 showed less than expected growth. 15% of the kids in FY11 showed less than expected growth. That's those two bar charts way to the right.
You're on page 6, I'm sorry?
Page 7. Page 7 at the bottom of the page. Yeah. It shows both years side by side, FY10 in the blue bars, FY11 in the red. And as I just said, the furthermost to the right pair of bars are the only two where we don't get a lot of improvement. There's a small number of kids that just aren't catching on. But everything to the left of there, the next tiny chart is showed expected growth, and everything from there over is more growth than you would expect. All the way over to the extreme left where you see a small number of kids who are moving ahead more than 2 years of expected growth just based on the 9 months they spend in that pre-kindergarten program. It's really just a very encouraging, I think, number to be aware of as we consider pushing this program out. The next test I want to talk about is the Dial 3, and that's on page 8. Dial 3 is a separate set of tests that are done for kids. It's a screening tool. The Dial 3 is a screening tool for cognitive developmental delays in children who are ages 3 years to 6 years, 11 months. It has three subtests, and the three subtests are motor skills, concepts, measurements, and language measurement. And if you turn to page 9, on the top green bar points out that 41% of the kids are now in the top quartile, more than tripling the percentage of children at or above the 76th percentile. And as you look at these circular charts, they're a little bit confusing. The colors, there's a lot of colors, a lot of numbers. But the one thing I kind of just focus on is look at the blue, the pie charts is what they are. Look at the blue pie charts on the left versus the blue wedges on the right. Because the blue, like just starting in the upper left-hand corner, page 9, this one, start at this one up in the upper left-hand corner. The blue wedge shows the number of kids in the top quartile when they entered the program. So it's a fairly small wedge, 12%. If you look to the right in the spring, you'll see that 41% of the kids are now in the top quartile. Same phenomenon at the bottom. Look at the blue. The blue wedge is 38% of kids in the top quartile when it comes to motor skills when they enter, 70% in the top quartile in the fall. If you turn the page and look at those blue wedges, you'll just see them grow from left to right. That's the numbers of kids in the top quartile in the fall versus the number of kids in the top quartile in the spring when they've been through the program. We're just pushing kids up. We're pushing kids up the ladder. And it works at the bottom of the, it works at the bottom just as strongly as it works at the top. If you turn to page 11, at the bottom you see all program, Dial 3 total, spring in the writing speaks for itself. In both years, a large majority of the AP3 kids, those are the kids in the pilot, started the year in the bottom of half by percentile. The majority of the children ended the year in the top half. I just have to say that again. The majority of the children ended the year in the top half. In year 2, 23% exited the bottom quartile, and 29% advanced to the top quartile. In total, 30% of the children left the bottom half and moved into the top half. The final test I want to talk about is the ECRS test, and that is a test that measures as much about the program itself as the children who are involved. And ECRS begins on page 15, and it's a multi-valued test. It measures space and furnishings. It measures the personal care routines. It measures language and reasoning. It measures the interaction between the children and the staff. It measures the program structure itself. And it reaches the same conclusions as in the other areas. You're just showing high rates of growth, and it sort of gives some comfort to the idea that we're just throwing money out there and seeing what happens. This is a very structured measurement set of measurements that make sure that the money that we're spending is actually going to good use. The ECRS on page 19, you know, sort of describes where it came from. It was developed at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It's page 19 towards the bottom. It's designed for use in preschool, kindergarten, and child care classrooms serving kids 2.5 through 5 years of age. It can be used by directors and teaching staff. The tool has a long history of research demonstrating that quality as measured by the ECRS has good predictive validity and a well-established reliability that makes it particularly useful for research and program evaluation. Finally, on page 20, there's the conclusions from the 2 years put together, and it runs for several pages. And it offers some good sort of balance to some of these highlights that I've pointed to, because it does let us know that some of the kids are not moving up. It lets you see, for example, on page 21 at the top on the first bullet, while AP3 pre-K children are generally making large strides in their development, and a large number are closing the gap, there are still children performing below expectations. 127 of the 162 children in this project who had pre- and post-vocabulary tests demonstrated growth that was greater than the growth expected for children, and yet on the next bullet you'll see that for those children who are behind to close the gap by their third grade assessments, continuous growth should begin in early childhood and be sustained through the primary grades. So that's just some of the highlights I wanted to bring to the committee's attention. We, as you know, took a field trip out there to see some of these pre-kindergarten programs in progress, both in Minto and in Allakaket, thanks to the good work by Murray and my staffer, Lila Hobbs. We saw this on the ground. We listened to the community. We saw the kids going into their little classrooms and working. And I helped read to them one day. It was very entertaining. And I guess I just want to close by saying that every piece of data that I've seen shows this works. The only thing that's left out there, I think, are some anecdotes about putting kids to school too early or socializing them too early. And you hear sort of lots of anecdotes about this or that reason. But the proof is here that this is what we need to do. Oh, I did want to make one more point. I'm sorry. And that is from the Crime Summit, because we did a Crime Summit this year. And we had a speaker come to us from Washington, Annie Panucci, from the Washington Institute of Public Policy. She talked, and we've talked about nothing but education this morning, but she talked about the benefits to the crime rate from pre-kindergarten. She does meta-analysis. She looks at hundreds of studies and tries to extrapolate, sort of bigger lessons from those many, many studies. She said that the long-term benefits shown in multiple studies for children who attend pre-kindergarten include these benefits. Children, as they grow up, they're much more likely to complete high school. That makes sense. They're more likely to have higher-paying jobs. That makes sense. They're going to graduate from high school, and much less likely to end up in the criminal justice system. Early childhood education programs are shown to save the state far more money than they cost as children move through school and into adult life. In addition to reduction in the crime rates, the programs reduce costs in special education, in grade repetition, and you get lower health care costs and lower rates of child abuse and neglect. So with that, I'll just say we may not move to an entire statewide program for pre-kindergarten this year, but we should be moving in that direction. We should be continually pushing this pilot program out until it's available statewide to any child who wants it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator French. Are there any questions of either Senator Davis or Senator French before we move on? Senator Stevens.
That's really fascinating what Senator French covered for us. Can you quantify the savings? I mean, I doubt if you can do this, but in either those children, or those people who wind up in crime, are in special ed. It's pretty hard to quantify that, I suppose, Senator French, but any further comments on explaining that, if you have them?
You know, thank you, Senator Stevens. Ms. Panucci put a number on it, and I don't have it here in front of me, but I will get that to you. They sort of drive it down to a certain dollar figure. And I agree, it's a little, I think it's a little fuzzy to say that, you know, for every dollar you spend in pre-kindergarten, you're going to get X many dollars back. But, you know, their analysis shows that the investment up front makes more over time. And, you know, the exact value, I'd be guessing. I don't want to do that. But, you know, they're pretty rigorous. They don't accept every study. They throw some out because they're too small or too localized or there's problems with them. And the Washington Institute of Public Policy has really made it their business to try to drive economic data towards the Washington legislature so they can make good decisions based on numbers and not on anecdote. Thank you.
Sure, that's really valuable. You know, it's always easy to say that this causes that and hard to really prove it, but I know folks will be saying to us, well, prove it. You know, so I believe it, but I don't... It would be interesting to see some figures and facts behind it. Thank you.
I have a question.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering, too, if this bill wouldn't satisfy a lot of the recommendations that were in the Moore settlement. I'm trying to remember specifically how they addressed pre-K programs, and I think maybe those programs were just for the low-performing schools, but I would think that this would, if we did, would go statewide with this, that this would satisfy some of those concerns as well.
You know, I think that's a great point. The Moore case was about, you know, sort of poor-performing schools. This has shown us how you move kids up the ladder, and it may take a few years, but I think it's certainly within the keeping of the spirit of the Moore case, if not the exact legal rationale.
I'm not sure if anybody from the department is at all prepared to address that issue, even in generalities or anything, but we will have the department up here in a little bit commenting on the fiscal note, if they are prepared to do that, as well as maybe if you have any comments to be made regarding the Moore decision and how this kind of folds into that, because we do understand that it has some impact and it was a consideration. So, but we'll wait here on that. Any other questions of Mr. Obermeyer or Senator Davis or Senator French at this point in time? Okay, thank you. Let's see. I think we will go online. I believe we have several people online, or at least a few online, for testimony. Let's go to Wasilla this morning. We should have, if we have them connected up, I believe we do. Lynn Reynolds, are you there this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. He doesn't wish to speak at this time.
Actually, now that you've mentioned my name online, I guess I...
You're required now.
yeah, a certain requirement. I can't say that I'm studied on this. I can't say that I'm prepared to speak with any depth of concern to the specific data that has been presented so far. I understand that any metric used to prove or disprove a theory has a tendency to have a certain bias. So depending on who designs the metric, you're going to get a certain result from that metric. So I'm always somewhat skeptical of numbers, like I heard Mr. French throwing out numbers, and I think Mr. Stevens' question was appropriate. Prove it. You know, where does this come from? My concern for this bill and any bill like it, from a standpoint of a private citizen, is where do the funds come from and how do you sustain those funds for a period of time, you know, the longevity of that, and then also the benefit of that. How does that affect not just the individuals receiving the funds, but how does that affect the community at large providing the funds, because those funds have to come from somewhere. I understand our government can print more money if it wants more money, but eventually that affects all of us. And while I understand the good intention here of the individuals involved in presenting this, I have to be concerned as an individual as to how the group think subjugates the sovereignty of the individuals. My concern from an early childhood education standpoint is that the values of the previous generation be passed on to the future generations. I think that's very difficult when you begin to separate children from families at an earlier and earlier and earlier age and then subjugate them to criteria, subjugate them to curriculum that leads them perhaps away from what would be for them traditional family values. And while I understand the value of teaching math and language and sciences and things like that, which I'm all for, completely for learning those things that we need to do to be the foundation of knowledge, knowledge being the key to power, I understand that it's not so much the knowledge, but the wisdom, how that knowledge is used, that's important, and that the values that drive that usage are critical to our future. So it's not just that we, you know,
Could you sum up, Mr. Reynolds, for somebody that wasn't going to testify? You seem to have a lot of opinion.
Let me just put it to you. I'm concerned about the money here. Where does this come from? And then in the end, how do we sustain that? Because we can start program after program after program, and we're seeing our public funds being stretched and stretched and stretched. And there always seems to be, I heard Senator Davis say, well, there's no, we can
30
afford
seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, okay?
How can we afford this over the long run? I'm curious. Where does this come from?
Okay, thank you. I wasn't looking in the column that says, do you want to testify or not, but we do have a Brenda Fuller who indicates she did want to testify. Is she there this morning?
Yes, she is. She doesn't wish to testify at this time. Thank you.
But are you going to have another time where I can testify? I want to go over these papers again.
There will be a future opportunity, whether in this committee or another committee, so...
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thanks. Okay.
You're welcome. And then going to Homer, I believe we have at least one person there that wants to testify, Lolita Branch.
Lolita Brachi. Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I admit I came in a little late, but I did hear all of Senator Hollis's testimony, and I would just like to say that I really appreciate the information that he presented. I am an educator from way back. I've taught preschool. I've taught kindergarten, elementary school. I'm currently teaching GED classes, and I believe that if we had really good early childhood education, we wouldn't need GED classes. But I support this bill completely. I agree that you will find you will save a lot of money in the future if you work with children when they're young. I think it's important for everybody to realize that preschool is not just about learning the alphabet and counting. It's about self-control, a child learning to wait for something, learning to take turns, learning social-emotional, a basis for a strong social-emotional growth. It's about, I hope these classes would include art and music and dance, these things that develop the whole brain, these things that really give the children a love of learning and a love of education and an excitement to go on to school. It also gives parents a chance to get into the school system and start knowing about how to support their children in school and how to teach their children at home. And it doesn't need to change what the families can teach their children at home. I'm sorry that other gentleman was worried about that, because I think this is about supporting families to be the best teachers of their own children. And families can learn more about that by having their kids in programs in the schools, and they can have an influence on what's going on in that classroom. They can volunteer, and they can be in there, and they can learn how to be advocates for their children. And there have been some research, some studies about how much you do save when you invest money. Like Senator Hollis, I don't have that at the top of my brain. At one point I heard for every dollar spent, you save $9, but I can't quote a research, but that research is out there if somebody wanted to find it. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your testimony. That is all that we had signed up out of the building. So anyone in the building today or in the committee room want to testify? Mr. Alcantara, please come forward. Put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. For the record, John Alcantara, Government Relations for 13,000 NEA Alaska members from Ketchikan to Barrow. Just want to make sure that we're indeed on the record, maybe from last year and again from this year, as supporting Senate Bill 6 and these pre-kindergarten programs. NEA Alaska delegates met just right about a month ago at the Captain Cook in Anchorage, and supporting pre-K was one of the issues that they brought up and received an overwhelming vote. So I just want to let the opportunity pass by, depending on what's going to happen with Senate Bill 6, to let the committee know that NEA Alaska members are in support of Senate Bill 6. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions of Mr.? No? Thank you very much. Okay. Any other questions before we bring the department forward? If there aren't any, then I would close public testimony at this point in time, and we would bring the department forward to comment on the fiscal note and or any relationship this may have to the Moore case, if they comment on that. Good morning. Make yourselves at home and put yourselves on the record.
For the record, my name is Les Morse, Deputy Commissioner at the Alaska Department of Education.
Cynthia Kern, Director of Teaching and Learning Support Department of Education and Early Development. With the fiscal note?
You may start with the fiscal note, and then if you care to make any comments regarding the Moore decision and how this kind of ties in with that, or if you feel comfortable with, I guess, at this point in time.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. With regard to the fiscal note, it was written for full time, so that amount would be changed should you adopt the CS for Senate Bill 6. I don't have the exact figures, but half of 83 is 41 something, so we would redo the fiscal note to reflect this if it's adopted. And with regard to the Moore case, on page 6 of your work draft, mm-hmm. It says section 9. AS 14.17.905 is amended by adding a new subsection to read, a school district may not include in the daily average daily membership of school students who are 4 years of age if the students are enrolled in a program that receives funding other than funding under this chapter. We would like to seek the opinion of our Attorney General that's working with us regarding this, because we feel that this may have some impact on the Moore case. And I'm going to ask Deputy Commissioner Morse to speak more to that.
Thank you. Mr. Morse, go ahead.
Chair Thomas, members of the committee, it may or may not affect that having just had a discussion about that language this morning, felt we needed to ask for some legal advice on the issue. We will be depending on the outcome of the Moore decision here at the legislature, and if that is approved, we'll be adopting the agreement for Moore within our regulations to move that forward. There are pre-K components in there that allow for schools that are identified in the Moore case to put forward a pre-K program for the terms of that agreement and receive foundation support for that in an identified sum of money that's in the Moore case. So it may or may not affect that. Just not being the people who interpret the law or help us sort through that, we need to ask our Attorney General's opinion. We'll be able to do that in fairly short order, we believe.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Davis.
Could you tell me in which way do you feel that this might, that language might impact the Moore case? It couldn't do it in a negative way, and besides that, that money is set aside and that program goes forward regardless whether we have pre-K or not. So why do you feel that this will affect that? The case has already been ruled on. It's already told you what to do. You're already in the process of doing it.
Through the chair, Senator Davis, it's just the line where it says funding other than funding under this chapter. Now, that's the language. And that's what I said. I don't think that it will be a problem because if Moore is approved by the legislature, in our regulations will adopt the Moore decision. So, however, if anything in that language prohibits us from being able to move forward on the Moore decision, that would just be a caution. And I'd like to simply ask our Attorney General that works with us to weigh in on that, and I don't think there'll be any problem getting an answer in in a short order. I would think we could have an answer by Wednesday for the committee on that.
That would be helpful if you could, sir. Senator French.
I have a question. Going back to the Moore settlement, because I keep a copy here in my binder and I just buzzed through it, there is a very strong pre-kindergarten component to the Moore case. Why did the state settled the case and agreed to the pre-kindergarten component? Why do you suppose that was? What was the rationale on the state's thinking with respect to including a pre-kindergarten component in the Moore settlement?
Through the chair, Senator French, I would really not want to speculate on that to a great degree, having not participated directly in the discussions. I know it was of strong interest to the plaintiffs, but I didn't participate in those discussions, and we certainly could have people here who did that at a future time. I think it primarily came because it was such a strong interest from the plaintiffs, and the state, I think, made agreements as long as we could study and see the effects of those programs that we would agree to put it in that. I don't think I could speak beyond that, though.
And just I'm just thinking back to my own recollection, thank you, Mr. Chairman, from the hearing where we talked about the Moore settlement. But as I recall, and what this says here is that it's a $6 million appropriation to be spread over 3 years. So it's about $2 million a year for pre-kindergarten. So it's about the size of the pilot, which is fairly small. But it is, that's my understanding. That's my recollection. That's what the paperwork says.
Yeah. Through the chair, Senator French, that's accurate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Is there anything else you care to, I see you writing feverishly there, Ms. Curran. Is there anything else you care to impart to us this morning?
Chair Thomas, I'm taking notes so I don't forget things when I go back and make sure that we get you all what you need. That's my feverish writing.
Okay. And in the case of the fiscal note, you believe that with the change in the committee substitute that it is reasonable to just cut in half the fiscal note that was existing before, previous to today?
Chair Thomas, yes, I do.
So 41.8 roughly thereabouts.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions of the department?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, I looked at your fiscal note briefly, and I know you want to rework it to better reflect the new CS, but your comments were on the original fiscal note that this would not include any additional cost to a facility, assuming there isn't room for additional students at a school. And I know some of our schools are maxed out, and some of them have capacity to take on additional classrooms, but we have no idea what that expense would be, do we?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, we don't know, and we don't have information to tell us what capacity exists out there, at least at this time, to be able to really respond to that in terms of the number of unhoused students, facilities with unhoused students, and those types of things.
Thank you. Anything else, Senator Meyer?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Other questions of the department? If not, then thank you for your, and we'll look forward to getting probably something on both of those issues if you could, because I think that's, you know, fairly critical items.
I can't read your writing.
Okay. Brief it.
What are you saying?
The record here. Any other questions regarding the committee substitute for SB 6 at this point in time? Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to comment on the record here that I know next time we meet on Wednesday, we're taking up another subject similar to this subject. It does have it's parents as teachers, and we've heard this bill before too, and I think there's support for that as well. But I think it would be good to see how that would tie into to a pre-K program, if it ties in at all. If I understand correctly, that program helps parents become teachers and better prepare the kids for the school system. So they are related, and I don't, if the sponsor's okay, and since we're waiting on a fiscal note and some questions on the Moore case, maybe the best thing to do is to hold this over and combine it with the topic on Wednesday.
What do you mean combine it? You mean have them come forward at the same time?
Correct.
Not to combine them?
Correct, yes.
All right, thank you.
Combine the topic.
Right.
Yeah.
No intention to try and make one bill out of two. That's not... Senator Prince, any additional comments?
It's a fair approach. You know, we do have a new fiscal note coming forward, and I want to get an answer back to Senator Stevens about the dollar value of a pre-kindergarten. Okay.
Senator Stevens, do you have any?
No, that's anything there? Good
Senator Meyer? Senator Davis?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay. All right, in that case, we'll set the bill aside, take it back up on Wednesday, along with Senate Bill 120, parents as teachers. Is there anything else to come before the committee this morning? If there isn't, then we will adjourn.